Today we will be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 18. We start this chapter entitled The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan. We will be reading the summary of the chapter written by Srila Prabhupada, and then texts 1, 2, and 3. The following summary of the 18th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. In the village of Arit Gram, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered the transcendental lakes known as Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda. He then saw the deity Haridev at Govardhan village. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no desire to climb Govardhan Hill because the hill is worshipped as Krishna. The Gopal deity could understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, on the plea of being attacked by Muslims, Gopal transferred himself to the village of Gantuli Gram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Gantuli Gram to see Lord Gopal. Some years later, Lord Gopal also went to Mathura to the temple of Vitaleshvara and stayed there for 1 month just to give an audience to Srila Rupa Goswami. After visiting Nandishvara, Pavan Sarovara, Shesha Shai, Kela Tirtha, Bandi Ravan, Badravan, Lohavan, and Mahavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gokul and then finally returned to Mathura. Seeing a great crowd in Mathura, he moved his residence near Akrura Ghat. And from there, he went every day to Vrindavan to see Kaliya Radha. Dwadasha Ditya Ghat, Keshi Ghat, Rasastali, Chir Ghat, and Imlitala. At Kaliya Lake, many people mistook a fisherman for Krishna. When some respectable people came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they expressed their opinion that when one takes sannyas, he becomes Narayana. Their mistake was corrected by the Lord. In this way, their Krishna consciousness was awakened, and they could understand that a sannyasi is simply a living entity and not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath at Akrura Ghat, he submerged himself in the water for a long time. Balabhadra Bhattacharya decided to take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Prayag after visiting the holy place known as Sorokshetra. While stopping near a village on the way to Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted in ecstatic love. Some Patana soldiers who were passing through saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and falsely concluded that the Lord's associates, Balabhadra Bhattacharya and others, had killed the Lord with a poison named Dhutura and were taking his wealth. Thus the soldiers arrested them. However, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained his senses, his associates were released. He talked with a person who was supposed to be a holy man in the party. From the Quran, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established devotional service to Krishna. Thus the leader of the soldiers, named Bijali Khan, surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he and his party became devotees of Lord Krishna. The same village today is known as the village of Patana Vaishnavas. After bathing in the Ganges at Soro, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Prayag, at the confluence of three rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. So this is a summary of the chapter. Now we will start with the verses. Vrindavane sthiracharan Nandayans Vavalokanai Atmanam Chatatalokat Gauranga Parito Brahmat Vrindavane Sthiracharan Nandayans Vavalokanai Atmanam Chatatalokat Gauranga Parito Brahmat Vrindavane Sthiracharan Nandayans Vavalokanai Atmanam Chatatalokat Gauranga Parito Brahmat Vaishnavis. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vrindavane means in Vrindavan, sthiracharan, to the living entities, both moving and not moving. Nandayan, giving pleasure, sva avalokanai, by his personal glances, atmanam, to himself, cha, also, tat alokat, by seeing them. Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Parita, all around, Abramat, traveled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over Vrindavan and pleased all living entities, moving and non-moving, with his glances. The Lord took much personal pleasure in seeing everyone. In this way, Lord Gauranga traveled in Vrindavan. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Gaura Chandra, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivastakur. Ei Mata Mahaprabhu Nachite Nachite Harit Grame Asi Bahya Hoila Chambite. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy But when he arrived at Arid Gram, his sense perception was awakened. Purport. Arid Gram is also called Arista Gram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that in that village, Arishtasura was killed by Sri Krishna. While there, he inquired about Radha Kund, but no one could tell him where it was. The Brahmana accompanying him could also not ascertain its whereabouts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could then understand that the holy places known as Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda were at that time lost to everyone's vision. He therefore discovered Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, which were two reservoirs of water in two paddy fields. Although there was very little water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient and could understand that formerly these two ponds were called Sri Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda. In this way, Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda were discovered. Om Akyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. This is a very beautiful section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It describes the visits of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the previous chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived to Mathura and he visited the 12th forest of Vrindavan. And now in this chapter, he's arriving to the highest holy place in Sri Vrindavan, and actually the highest holy place in the universe. It is Sri Radha Kund, located at the valley of Govardhan Hill. Later on, there is also a description of Govardhan Hill. In the previous chapter, last week, we were hearing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in ecstasy. His ecstasy of divine love was so great that even when he was rolling on the ground and thorns were piercing his body, he was not noticing the thorns. Usually when we walk on a thorn, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and a thorn pierce our foot, we feel it. Yesterday I was chanting japa, somehow there was a thorn there in that corner, and it pierced my foot, and I immediately was worried and start touching the foot, and maybe it hurt, it went in. So we got worried. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing such deep spiritual emotion of love for Krishna that even though many, many thorns were piercing all his body, not just the foot, but all over his body, thorns were there, he was not noticing it. This gives us an idea of what is divine ecstasy, divine love. Sometimes in India, and maybe in the West sometimes also, people may imitate the symptoms of ecstasy and maybe roll on the ground, like expressing so-called love for Krishna. But then in many occasions, I say so-called love because in many occasions it is not real. It is not real. And Srila Prabhupada I hear this one, I don't have the exact quote, but I hear that Srila Prabhupada in one occasion, devotees were asking about one person who was expressing very extroverted symptoms of divine emotion, crying and shouting and rolling on the floor, laughing and doing all kinds of so-called spiritual emotions. And then he pretended to be unconscious and rolling on the floor, like something like, So Prabhupada, I don't think he meant that literally. He may meant, I don't know. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudre, Viki and Abuja, it is very difficult to understand the mind of the pure Vaishnava. But anyway, my assumption is that he didn't mean that literally, but he wanted to show the devotees the point taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, kick him. He's in ecstasy. You kick him. If he's really in ecstasy, he will not protest. If he's not in ecstasy, then he will react. So, anyway, this is related to the thorns of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how divine ecstasy should not be imitated. We rather should aspire to develop so much love for Krishna that the internal symptoms of divine love will develop. Attraction to chant the holy names of Krishna, detachment from material achievements, proper utilization of time, and the different internal symptoms. The external symptoms are secondary. But in any case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested such a divine level of Mahabhava. Mahabhava means the great bhava, the great divine ecstasy. So great that it cannot be attained by any pure soul. Any pure devotee cannot attain the same level of love manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a drop of the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love, which is non different from Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna, only a drop we can get. And if we get a drop or even a particle of a drop, we should consider ourselves very fortunate. And we should pray for that. We should pray for getting that mercy, that even a particle of a drop of the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached Vrindavan, and it is described how unlimited is the love. When he was in Jagannath Puri, this love was immense. But then when he reached Mathura, because he was coming closer to Vrindavan, it multiplied 100 times. When he reached the forest of Vrindavan, it multiplied hundreds of thousands of times. And now he's reaching Radha Kund, and it even multiplied much more. It is not described specifically, but it is gradually increasing. It is described specifically up to Vrindavan. It is very significant in relation to these symptoms of ecstasy. He reached Aritgram. Aritgram, also known as Arishtagram. Arishtagram is the village. Gram means village. Like we have, what's the verse? Prithivitehache yata nagaradigram. Sarvate prachara hoive moranam. This is the verse spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that in every town and village, the holy name of Krishna will be sung. So Gram means village. So this was a village, the village of Arista. And who was Arista? Remember who was Arista? The bull demon. The bull demon. Aristasura. You may remember that Kamsa, the Asuric king who was ruling, and he had so many kings supporting him. He was ruling from Mathura in many, many different kingdoms. He was very prominent. And he was a big demon and he wanted to kill Krishna. He wanted to kill God. This is the idea. The summary of Asuric mentality is that the people who possess that mentality try to kill God. And therefore the characteristic, we experience this many times in modern times, the idea of secularization, many times it is godless secularization. It is not an inclusive secularization, but it is exclusive. Exclusive meaning, take out religion from the picture. It is not like that in every country, but in many countries it is like that. So this is the mentality, the Arista mentality, Asuric, sometimes also presenting even as religion. And actually, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Arista Asura, he represents the cheating religion. I brought Chaitanya Shikshamrita to read that section. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how there are many different demons who attack Krishna in Vrindavan. They represent different types of anarthas or improper mentality, or we can say material contamination, that we, conditioned souls, possess to a greater or lesser degree, unless we have become a Mahabhagavat, a complete surrender devotee of the Lord. To a certain extent we may be affected by some of these anarthas described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's describing Aristasura. He says Every asura represents one of the anarthas, and the idea is that we should meditate on the lila when we want to become purified from such anartha. We should remember that lila, that pastime. The Aristasura Vada lila, the killing by Krishna of the demon that had assumed the form of a bull, symbolizes destroying the attraction for cheating religion with its external show of pomp and splendor and the concomitant disregard for Shuddha Bhakti. So cheating religion, we may manifest external splendor, we may have many big rituals, but if the rituals are devoid of devotion, of service, to genuine service, loving service to Krishna and to the Vaishnavas, then it becomes cheating religion. So we should be careful with that, on an individual basis and also on a community basis, as a community. It is interesting, how is it that it represents cheating religion, Aristasura? Because he appeared in the form of a bull, and the bull, the personality of Dharma, appears as a bull we see in the first canto of the Bhagavatam when he manifested in front of Parikshit Maharaj. He was being mistreated by the personality of Kali. And he appeared in the form of a bull. Now here, the demon appears, cheating religion appears as a bull. But he's a terrible bull. He appears in arid ground. He was so prominent that even the pure Vrajavasis gave the name of Arista to the village, the place where Arista appeared. Aritgram. That's the place. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that when he appeared, the women, pregnant women, and the pregnant cows, they aborted, and they had miscarriages out of fear. He was so heavy. He was, how you call it? I think I will read. That will be better. There are 16 verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 36, 10th canto. The chapter is entitled The Slaying of Arista the Bull Demon. The demon Arista, this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking, the demon Arista then came to the cowherd village, appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump, like making hump, it's like, with a large hump, he made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hoofs. So he was also like making holes on the earth with his strong hoofs and legs. Aristasura bellowed very harshly and pawed the ground. With his tail raised and his eyes glaring, he began to tear up the embankments with the tips of his horns, every now and then passing a little stool and urine. My dear king, clouds covered about sharp horn Aristasura's hump, mistaking it for a mountain. And when the cowherd men and ladies caught sight of the demon, they were struck with terror. Indeed, the strident reverberation of his roar so frightened the pregnant cows and women that they lost their fetuses in miscarriages. The domestic animals fled the pasture in fear, O king, and all the inhabitants rushed to Lord Govinda for shelter, crying, Krishna, Krishna! When the Supreme Lord saw the cowherd community disrupt and fleeing in fear, he calmed them, saying, Don't be afraid. Then he called out to the bull demon as follows. You fool! What do you think you are doing? You wicked rascal, frightening the cowherd community and their animals, when I am here just to punish corrupt miscreants like you. Having spoken these words, the infallible Lord Hari slapped his arms with his palms. I guess it was like that, no? He make like, isn't it? I was thinking how he can slap the arms, something like that, like challenging the demon. Further angering Arista with a loud sound, the Lord then casually threw his mighty serpentine arms over the shoulder of a friend and stood facing the demon. So you can imagine, like, fighting a demon and then relaxing, taking the neck of a friend. It's like saying, okay, we're going to have a fight. Like people who want to scare, sometimes people who scare like to have good fights, they do things like that to scare the opponent. In the Dhyumna Maharaj described that once in Poland they had some big people, I mean fighters, came to them to scare them. And they were doing things like that, like things to scare the opponent. So this is coming from Krishna, Jamadhyaya Sayataha. So he was doing that in a real way. He was totally relaxed himself. Having spoken these words, infallible, no, next. Thus provoked, Arista pawed the ground with one of his hoofs, and then with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail, furiously charged Krishna. Pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes, Arista rushed toward him at full speed, like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. The Supreme Lord seized Aristasura by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do when fighting a rival elephant. Thus repulsed by the Supreme Lord, the bull demon got up and, breathing hard and sweating all over his body, again charged him in a mindless rage. As Arista attacked, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. The Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth. And finally he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until he lay prostrate, vomiting blood and profusely excreting stool and urine. Kicking his legs and rolling his eyes about, Aristasura thus went painfully to the abode of death. The demigods honored Lord Krishna by scattering flowers upon him. Having thus killed the bull demon Arista, he who is a festival for the gopis' eyes entered the cowherd village with Balaram. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. I will not continue with that, but I read that verse to indicate in the purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains how Sri Radha Kund appeared. So in today's section, we are seeing how Sri Radha Kund became manifest again when they were covered during the times of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually, Sri Radha Kund appeared much longer during the Krishna Lila. And then, with the pass of the years, became covered. And also, Narada went to Kamsa. And here is when Narada revealed to Kamsa that actually Krishna and Balaram were the sons of Vasudeva and Devaki. And Aristasura was the last demon who was killed by Krishna in Vrindavan. So I will read the purport. It's very, very beautiful about Sri Radha Kund's appearance. The term Deva Darshana, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God and that he knows or sees the pastimes of Krishna. Knowing that Krishna's Vraja Lila was ending, Narada spoke to Kamsa to induce him to bring Krishna to Mathura. In 20 verses, the Puranas describe how Radha Kund and Shyama Kund appear after the killing of Aristasura as a result of a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna. Radha said, "O sinful killer of a bull, do not touch me today." Krishna replied, "O foolish woman, this is not a bull, but a terrible demon disguised as a bull." Radha, "O Krishna, that may be true, but even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow, so you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing the demon Vritrasura, who was a Brahmana." Krishna, "O Radha, what should I do to atone for this act?" Radha, "You can purify yourself by bathing in every single holy place in the three walls." Krishna, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." Saying that, Mukunda struck his heel on the ground to make a hole and said, "Come here." Then all the holy waters in the universe and their presiding deities came there along with the Bhagavati River coming from the Patala region. Krishna, "Hey Sakis, behold all the holy waters." But the gopis did not believe Krishna's words. Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, came forward and introduced themselves. "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirgika. I am the river Sona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamraparni. I am Sarasvati. I am the holy place Pushkar. We are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Krishna became quite arrogant and said, "I have made one lake containing all the various holy places, but none of you have performed such pious work." Hearing this, Radha said to her friends, "I must create an even more beautiful lake. Go to work and construct one with great care." West of Krishna's kunda, where Arista's hoofs had made a hole, the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands. And in the short span of an hour, Gatika Dwayena made a beautiful divine kunda. This is the power of spiritual energy, that in no time something divine can become manifest in the place of a demon. Because actually they did it in the place where the demon Arista had been making holes on the ground. So they, in 1 hour, in no time, they transformed the demoniac situation into a divine situation, the kunda of divine love, the kunda of Srimati Radharani. Astonished to see the lake the gopis produced, Krishna thought of enjoying rasa and said, "O lotus-eyed Radha, please take some of the holy water from my kunda and fill up your kunda." Radha said, "No, no, no, no." The Sanskrit verse is na 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 neti na 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 neti. No, 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 no. You can find the verse in the 10th canto, the translations of Hridayananda Maharaj. It's the Sanskrit is there. "This is impossible, since the water of your lake is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. My countless..." I will finish the story, a very brief comment, and we will end here. I'm sorry, I'm going a bit longer, but I don't want to cut in the middle. It will be unfair to you and to the Lord, to the Lila. "My countless sakis will bring millions of pots of pure water from Manasaganga to fill up my kunda. By this, my fame will be spread throughout the universe." At that time, Sri Krishna gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly, that person rose up out of Krishna's kunda and bowed down to Vrishabhanu Nandini. Then, with folded hands and tears in her eyes, she began to offer praises. "O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the best of men, can understand them, and thus he feels obliged to personally wipe the perspiration from your limbs when you are fatigued. Krishna is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka, and decorating them with ankle bells. Krishna rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by serving your lotus feet. On Krishna's order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent lake, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Being satisfied with the praises spoken by the representative of all the holy places, Radha said, "So, kindly tell me your desire." The holy places clearly stated their desire. "Our lives will be successful if we can enter your kunda. This is the boon we pray for." Radha's sakis all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, all the moving and non-moving creatures became enlivened. Thus gaining the mercy of Radha, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kunda forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kunda with their waters. Krishna said, "O most beloved, may your kunda become more famous in the world than mine. I will come here daily to bathe and to enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, your kunda is as dear to me as you are." Radha replied, "I will bathe daily in your kunda as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arista demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this kunda, which is on the spot where you chastised Arishtasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me. Snayat vasem mama saeva mahapriyostu." That night, a brilliant flash of beautiful lightning is the form of Sri Radhika, whose glory is spread throughout the three worlds. This caused a shower of blissful rasa to fall from the Krishna cloud by performing a rasa dance on the banks of the Radha Kunda. The final point I wanted to make, it is that it is significant that Arishtasura was the last demon killed by Krishna. So, which means the last demon killed by Krishna in Vrindavan. Which means that in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, we need to call Krishna, as the inhabitants of Vrindavan did, to kill our demon of Kaitava Dharma, or false religiosity. And that means whatever impurities are there, attachments to external pomp of religion, lacking Shuddha Bhakti, this should be killed. Of course, that doesn't mean that we cannot worship Krishna opulently. We can do it, but we should do it with devotion, with pure Bhakti. And this is the one of the meanings of these beautiful pastimes described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see here how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited these holy places created by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And he, again, by his mercy, although these places were covered, he recreated them. He discovered them, two small ponds, it's like a little charco. Who can help me? Charco. Puddle, yes, thank you. A little puddle of water. So it was a little puddle of water, and he asked the Goswamis to excavate them again. And by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now we can go to Sri Radha Kund and we can pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, so that one day we can experience even one little particle of drop of the law of her love of the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai.